Well, I don't know about you, but every year when we get to this first Sunday of Advent, and if you didn't grow up in an Anglican way, maybe you're not familiar, or Lutherans or Presbyterian, you didn't have Advent as a child, but every time we get around to this season, it's always a little tough for me because, as you know, Advent is that ramping up time towards Christmas. It's 4 weeks. It's why we have these four candles here, three purple and one pink, for the Virgin Mary on the last Sunday. And we had these weeks to prepare our hearts for the celebration of the birth of Christ. Jesus is coming into the world. And this first week particularly always catches me because it's focused not on Jesus' first coming, but on His return. And, you know, being a child of the 70s, being one who grew up in the whole Hal Lindsey, late great Planet Earth. Are you familiar with that? And some of the sort of overly focused end time discussions. I had that horrible movie series about the rapture, where they're running around in the real cheesy police uniforms, arresting the Christians, all that. Anyway, having all that baggage of sort of having been through a lots of time when it seemed to me as a child, as a young adult, that we overly focused on the end times. I'm always a little bit drawn back and a sense of saying, well, gosh, I know that Christ is going to return, but aren't we to stay focused on the here and now? After all, we need to be of earthly good. And I'm a very pragmatic kind of guy anyway. Wherever I am, there I am. Let's get to work. You know, if it's today, we're going to work today and worry about tomorrow. So this first Sunday of Advent always kind of catches me. As I began to pray and study over the scriptures again, I always try to take a fresh look at these readings. They're powerful. Jesus Himself prophesying that on that day, He quotes from Daniel, that He will return like the Son of Man on the clouds. All these scriptures, I began to think about and began to recognize in the words of Jesus, particularly in the Gospel of Luke here, that there is a real call, not simply just to focus on the second returning of Christ, but to live in the present with a recognition that we have a future. It seems to me that rather than having our minds focused on when the exact day or what it will exactly be like when Christ returns, we're to live as people who are not just stuck in today, but living today aware that there is a future for us. Christ will come again. We say that in the Eucharistic prayer. But do we live that way? And I gotta admit to you, I mean, particularly in times of strife and struggle and hardships and confusing times and hard times, it's easy for me to get really overly focused on the circumstances of today and to lose sight that I have a future, that we have a future, that we have a hope. Christ will return. You see, we as followers of Jesus, as those called Christians, believe that God created this world, a good creation, that He made it for Himself. And yes, we have broken that creation. We have tainted it. We have sinned, trespassed, all the words the New Testament, the Old Testament use. But God has not left us in that tainted, broken state. He has sent His Son Jesus to redeem us, but not just us. Romans says that He is redeeming all of His creation, Romans chapter 8. We have a future. We have something to look forward to. We have a perspective beyond the immediate. And I think that is what the Lord Jesus wants us to keep in mind. His words are encouraging to the disciples. Do you notice that? He talks about all these things, signs in the sun and moon and the stars and distress on the nations and perplexity and roaring waves. And that's just ways of saying it's going to be a really tough time. But what does he say to the disciples? When you see these things, straighten up. Raise your heads, because your salvation is drawing near. Be encouraged, in other words. Keep that hope in perspective. That it's not just about the initial place we're in right now. It's not about the circumstances of today. That's not all there is. Have a longer perspective. We have been bought by a price. We are owned by a Lord who is working out a far greater plan than even the immediate circumstances of our lives. And He wants us to live with that perspective in mind. Now, this is what theologians will call, in big words, well, not big words, but they talk about this a lot, the now and not yet. Meaning that Jesus has brought salvation to each of us. We can know the peace of Christ. We can know His forgiveness. We can know a new life in Christ now. But this isn't all there is. He's working out our salvation, as Paul says. Jesus Himself says in Luke 21, your redemption is very near. It's a process that Jesus is completing, and He wants us to live in this tension between present and future. A balanced life, if you will. Not overly focused on today, and not overly focused on someday. But in today, reminded of the future. Now, you know people for whom this is really difficult. As a matter of fact, it's probably one of the things in the church, throughout church history, that we've really struggled with, is the people of God. We tend to fall off the cart in one of two directions, either being totally focused on the future, i.e. the Hal Lindsey future, late great planet Earth folks, and then the folks who totally forsake the future and live only for today. And the church falls susceptible to that. We all know people who are so heavenly minded that they're of very little earthly good. Can't be bothered with electric bills and, working in their job, their menial job, because after all, you know, one day I'll be in heaven with Jesus, and that's all they can focus on. And I got to tell you, that makes for a pretty poor witness in the world. But then you also know people that are so earthly minded, Christians, that they're very little heavenly good. They've lost that eternal perspective. They've gotten, as Jesus says and warns the disciples, they've gotten tied down with the dissipation, the cares of this world. I think that is something that we all have to be presently aware of. We don't want to be so heavenly focused that we're of little earthly good, but we don't want to be so focused on today that we lose the eternal perspective. You see, that's what we as believers offer to the world around us. They live in an immediate world, cause and effect, short-term gains, short-term losses, right? Like the stock market, up and down. We offer an eternal perspective. We can see beyond the immediate circumstances and see that we serve a God who is redeeming things. And while we may not be able to see it in the circumstance that we find ourselves in today, we serve a Christ who has greater plans at work. we offer that hope. You see, that's what our friends and neighbors out there need. It's too easy to get lost in the trees of your own life. We need to be lifted up where we can see the forest. We have a hope. We have a future. Our Lord will return. He is in the process of redeeming His creation. We serve a God with greater purposes than the immediate circumstances of our lives. I think this is one of the great gifts, the blessings that the body of Christ is to us as believers, individual believers. I think in some way it's an antidote for this out of balance, either too future thinking or too presently thinking. Particularly the folks who can get bogged down in the dissipations and the cares as Jesus describes. You see, I think there's something really neat about being in a community where we're constantly being confronted with people who are in different places than where we are. Just this week, I buried the very first woman that I ever called upon as a pastor here in Gainesville, Isabel McCarthy. We laid her body to rest. Her spirit, her glorified body is with Jesus. But I had to walk through the suffering and the loss, the grief, with those who loved and ministered to her. The same week, my wife has been very involved in a baby shower for Betty Carroll. And this opportunity to bless Betty as this new life, this little one is growing in Betty's womb. At home, resting, like I told her to. You see, when I'm high on life, and boy, man, it is just, I'm just kicking it. I mean, it's just going. In community, I have to remember that there are other people who are at that moment suffering. And the pain of their lives is great. And the world would run away from that, because that's a downer. But in the body of Christ, we have a different perspective. We know that God has given us those places. Because we know that all the highs of life and all the lows of life don't always mean what we think they mean. And it holds us in balance. There are times when I'm really down, when I feel lost and I feel miserable, and the world would say, you know, get help, get drugs or whatever, you know, get, you know, and in the worldly sense, I know that when I was down and would say, hey, you know, I'm kind of depressed back in my secular job, people were like, hey, well, hope you feel better, you know, and they go the other way. But the body of Christ is a place where those who are up give us that eternal perspective. Won't always be like this. God's got something greater that He's working out. It's more than just the immediate pain, and it's more than just the immediate ecstasy of the minute or the moment or the day or the hour. We're a part of something greater. We have a Redeemer who is working out His plan, and He will come again. I heard a neat little story. There was this football player. It's football season, so I get a little bit of leeway with football analogies. This football player went to college determined to be a professional football player, quarterback. Am I buzzing? I don't know if I'm buzzing or not. Anyway. And he went, got a scholarship to the University of Miami. He was going to start playing. This is back when that was a good thing, okay? And he went there, and he knew he was a Christian, and he felt in his heart of hearts that God was calling him to be a professional quarterback. Then after he got to the University of Miami, the University of Miami gave a scholarship to a young man named Jim Kelly. If you know who Jim Kelly is, but he was the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, took them to 4 Super Bowls. Didn't win any of them, but he got there 4 times. Pretty darn good quarterback. this guy said, well, you know, I'm not going to be the star at University of Miami, but there's still hope. Gets drafted by the Denver Broncos. Gets his chance. Not long after that, this team, the Denver Broncos, drafts a guy named John Elway. Do you know who John Elway is? You know? Won two Super Bowls, right? Probably the best, one of the three or four best quarterbacks ever to play the game. This guy is going to get a little depressed. Luckily, he gets transferred. You guessed it. Miami Dolphins. About the time the Miami Dolphins draft a guy named Dan Marino. Three times, right? Well, this guy tells the story that after a little while, he begins to realize that perhaps he's heard God wrong. Perhaps he's not going to be his star quarterback in the NFL. God begins to say to this man, look, I don't want you to be a professional quarterback in the NFL. What I want you to be is a coach. And I've given you three incredible quarterbacks to work with so that you would know how to coach them. You see, that guy had his own perspective. Could have left him pretty depressed. Or he could be open to God's perspective, far greater than our own. I'll tell you that quarterback is if you come ask me after the service. I love Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians, just to tie in some of our other readings. Paul understands more than most the balance of future and present. Paul says, I love it when he says to the Thessalonians there, as we pray, verse 10, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face, and supply what is lacking in your faith. Paul got it that we need the community. We need those who encourage us to keep that eternal perspective. Who keep us mindful that, yes, we have to live in today. But today is not all that we have. And that the circumstances of today do not dictate. For we serve a God that in the midst of the foreboding, whatever that word means, of the world, He has called us to straighten up and to raise our heads and remember always that our redemption is drawing near. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.